You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen.
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 Here's Johnny.
John Peterson.
Johnny Gordy. Oh, Johnny Gordy.
Sing along.
WMDX 92.7, and this is John and Gordy in the morning.
6 minutes past the hour, sunshine to start your Friday. It's going to be hot and humid this afternoon, high near 90, and right now 75 degrees. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Start the school year off right with a mattress set built just for your student. Time for them to get a better night's sleep with the new Verlo mattress. They have twin sets starting at $399, full-size sets starting at $499, all kinds of savings during back-to-school time during the month of August. Check them out on Madison's east side or west side, or just go to verlo.com for more information.
I'm going to debut our new slogan here.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I remind people to check out the Civic Media app and and choose our station, listen to it, listen to it in your car, know, beaming it in with your Bluetooth.
Yes.
And tune in and turn on.
You came up with that?
That was great.
That sounds like something I heard back in 1968.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Tune in, turn
does
on,
sound
drop fam- out.
Does
drop
sound
out.
Familiar.
Okay. Okay.
Tune in, yeah. Turn on.
Okay.
All right.
Got it. Is Savannah Tomei Olson with us? Yes, she is, because it's Friday and we want to know what's happening around Madison. Good morning, Savannah.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's We're going good. All right. It's Friday. Good.
Yeah.
It is Friday. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness.
You know, I was wondering how important it is for the transit to at least have inspections and maintain their buses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What can we expect from that?
You were wondering that?
Yes, I was actually wondering that.
And guess what? Savannah has a story on that.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that crazy?
What a coincidence.
Yeah. Now, the union that represents a bunch of workers for Metro Transit say that the city is way behind on maintenance and a bunch of fixes and on inspections, which are required by federal law. So they put out this statement saying that, you know, they have mechanics that are working overtime trying to get to things, but they basically accuse Metro of mismanagement, saying that they don't have enough people to get all this stuff done. And the city responded and said that they're pretty much doing their best trying to work together and get everything done in time. Usually when you get statements from both sides of these kinds of issues, from the union and from the organization, there's not much they agree on. But both of them told me that they know that stuff is about to get real, real busy as kids go back to school. Lots of them take Metro Transit, especially high schoolers.
Sure.
And of course, once they have students back on UW-Madison's campus, tons more people will be taking the buses then too. So I think it's kind of a race against the clock over there trying to get a bunch of stuff done.
Does this include the BRT?
It includes all the buses.
Okay. All right. Okay. Because the BRT is one way of helping students get from outside of Madison back into town very easily and very quickly instead of going through the long, arduous bus system and bus routes, right? So
it'll be interesting to see what, you know, to see how quickly they can get back on top of things.
Yeah.
Now, Savannah, what's the story about this local science summer camp? This blows my mind. They're geared toward kids with autism. I have two grandkids that are on the spectrum. Now, this summer camp they may have to shut down because feds are pulling some funding. Is that the case?
That's right. So the head of climate research over at UW-Madison started these camps about 4 years ago. His wife is autistic. His son is autistic. And he basically just saw a need that there were kids who were interested in STEM fields or maybe aren't interested in STEM fields but could benefit from having a space that's just for them, where they're not the outlier, right? That's geared toward them.
Yes.
And they spend a lot of time on stuff like the weather and the water cycle, and they do all kinds of experiments. There's a camp in Beloit, a camp in Madison, and a camp in Baraboo. And just before the summer was set to start and they were ready to start these camps, they got notified from the National Science Foundation, which provided the grants, that their grant was being canceled because it was considered DEI, because it's geared toward kids on the spectrum and other neurodivergent children.
Really? Really?
Yep. They're using DEI to just eliminate everything, defund everything in government. And this is just another perfect example of the insanity that this is spreading throughout the government at this point. It's just ridiculous. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they, how many other camps, you know, science camps include those on the spectrum, right. Autism?
Yeah.
I mean, none. None. Yeah. You're right. You have to have extra money in order to handle something like that anyway.
Well, and that's exactly why he started these camps in the first
right.
place.
Right.
So that these kids had a place where they feel safe. He said he has families. So, you know, from Baraboo to Beloit, Michael Notaro is the director of the Climate Research Center. And he told me that he has kids from a 300-mile radius who come to this camp, and kids who are a little older who have come in years past and are now basically like junior helpers at the camp.
Yeah.
And he said parents say, I just never expected my kid to grow like this and to be able to, you know, be this involved and even be helping other kids learn. It really makes a difference for these kids to participate. Luckily, private donors stepped up to keep it going this summer, but now he's trying to figure out basically where to go from here.
Good. Okay. Boy, this is just a heartbreaker. Mm-hmm. It really is. All right. Well, that brings everybody down, doesn't it?
I know.
Well, Savannah, thank you for joining us this morning. I know you have one more story here about bugs in Madison. They are pretty bad
tired of bugs.
They're bad. Yeah, the bottom line is we can thank the weather.
Yeah, big surprise.
Drier years. Yeah, okay. And now we have a wet one. And so, you know.
That's why. Yep.
We'll blame Brittany Merlot on that one.
Thank you, Savannah. We appreciate that report. Right. Savannah Tomei-Olson from WMDX News.
They're using DEI to do this kind of stuff. This is just picking on everybody.
It's awful.
And it's, you know, I don't understand how the CJs and my mega friend in Milwaukee can come, you know, seeing this stuff happen, how they can put up with this. I don't understand how they can say, well, that's okay. Well, no, we draw the line here. Do they ever draw the line anywhere? Do they care about anybody? Yeah. And this is just a waste.
Yes.
An absolute waste.
Yeah.
Man. Anyway.
It is 7:14 coming up. It's very upsetting. Yeah.
Because when there's a camp like this, these individuals, they're excited. You know, something's there for them to excel in. And feel some kind of accomplishment, and it's such a great cause. And then they pull the funding for this?
Yeah, the federal funding.
It's just unbelievable.
But thank goodness, as Savannah mentioned, you know, some local funding.
For this year.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
I want to remind you that this is a free ticket Friday. We're giving away a 4-pack of tickets to some lucky listener out there for the Brewers game coming up next Wednesday against Pittsburgh, Wednesday the 13th. If you text us the word ground, you can get on the Civic Media app, find the WMDX site there, and text us the word ground. Do that before 8 a.m. You'll be in for this statewide contest. We'll notify you if you are the winner. Again, it's for a 4-pack of great club-level seats at AmFam Field for Wednesday, August 13th against Pittsburgh. Ground is the key word.
That's right.
G-R-O-U-N-D. Okay, right. Catherine is on the phone here.
All right.
With a comment. Good morning, Catherine.
Yeah, of course, you're in trouble for everything. You're in trouble. That's why I'm calling. No.
What did we do or not do this time?
You didn't do a damn thing. You didn't do a damn thing. Here's what it is.
Yeah.
Here's what I hear you and every other person in media talking about DEI.
Yeah.
DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. I'm tired of saying DEI. I want to say diversity, equity, and inclusion over and over again, because that's the evil we're rooting out. That's the evil we're trying not to have around anymore? That's a bad thing. And so when a university expresses DEI in some way, we need to punish them. If a program for children is punished because it has DEI, diversity, right, that's wrong. Please,
yeah, I know,
explain to me when diversity became a bad thing, when inclusion of your child who has a different set of skills than my child, why that's wrong. Equity? When did equity become a bad thing?
Yeah,
I don't understand. Fix it. That's what I'm calling you to do. Fix it, Peterson, Young, fix it.
I agree with you. I think the right wing likes to use these acronyms in order to soften the blow of whatever they're using the acronym for, and DEI is a perfect example of that, and I think you're saying the exact right thing. I did mention diversity, equity, inclusion in our discussion, but we have to bring that up more often. It was a point that Pete Buttigieg brought up.
Yeah.
Remember that when he defined each one of those words?
Yeah.
And he says, this is bad.
Yeah.
This is what we should avoid doing.
Yeah. This is what they want the opposite of.
Right.
More of that, please.
They don't
more
want
Pete.
Diversity.
Play that as your, play Pete's bit as your open every damn show, because that's exactly what the problem is. This is crazy town.
Yeah,
it is. It's nuts. All right, I know.
All right, Kathy.
I know. Thank you for getting that out. I feel the same way.
Let's go to our next caller.
I just get so frustrated.
Thank you for that call, Catherine. Dick is on the line. Dick, good morning. What do you got for us?
Good morning. I'm calling for the immediate resignation of Donald Trump based on, first of all, he's woefully unqualified for the job. But secondly, in a country where a convicted felon can't vote, why in the hell should one be able to be president?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's as simple as that, isn't it? That's it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All right, Dick, I appreciate that. wow.
Yeah,
it's crazy stuff, you know? And then, you know, I had this story, I was going to get to it here, and why not at least touch on it? It's a $600 tax credit for, it's the tariff. Tax credit of $600 for each American out there, okay?
Okay.
Now, this is supposed to pay down the debt. And I think this tariff money is being used for a future tax cut. They'll say, oh, we have all this money coming into the government. Let's give another tax cut. When we're actually paying for this in the price of everything we buy, this isn't some kind of magical money coming from another country. It's us paying the extra money for the products we buy from overseas. It's our money, and we're getting it back, $600 tax credit. Wow. Are we lucky people or what?
But I mean, the estimates are that we're going to pay $2,500 more because of these tariffs, something like that.
A family of four will be paying $2,500 more a year. And here's one. One person texted this. Trump is once again bragging about his administration raising trillions, not billions, in tariff revenue. Can anyone tell him the American people pay the tariff? That's how simple it is.
Yeah.
All right.
It is 7:19. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. You can get a fast and flexible appointment. They're family-owned and community-focused. Give them a call, 608-249-4077. Madison Hearing Aid Center. They are helping people change their lives, improving the quality of life through better hearing. Go to their website, MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. Back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning on your Friday, right here from Madison, Wisconsin on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX, 92.7. That's us clearing our throats in the morning.
Yeah. We have sunshine today. Highs in the mid to upper 80s. It's going to feel hot and
very hot,
humid,
muggy.
Very sticky out there. The dew points are rising, even as we speak.
So just, you know, stay with the air conditioning.
You're just scaring me, that's all.
Okay. 6:52, let's get back to Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. And we want to talk about PBS and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has been disbanded by the Trump administration. Now, the PBS is suing the Trump administration, arguing the defunding is unconstitutional. We'll see where that goes.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And lawsuit echoes similar arguments made by NPR, you know, National Public Radio, another public media organization targeted by defunding efforts. So they're fighting back on this, but, you know, it's going to be devastating for some of the smaller public broadcasting stations that may just have to, you know, shut down out in the country.
You'd think that somewhere along the way, Tim, that when you come out and say we're getting rid of woke, that maybe that would... that would sway the judge or at least a decision in all of this. It's purely political. It has nothing to do with anything else. This is censorship. This is government censorship. That's what it is.
It's that. And, you know, it really creates this sense of going like, what is it about Mr. Rogers and Big Bird that is so offensive to conservatives who for 40 plus years have been fully engaged in trying to get to the point they've finally reached this, you know, this year with the Trump administration, because this isn't a Trump issue here. This is a long-standing historical battle, and in fact, we covered that. It was 1968 or 69 when Fred Rogers testified to the Senate, about why the Corporation for Public Broadcasting needed to be continued to be funded, and. You know, he did an incredible job. I take everybody, you know, we played a portion of it on the show, you know, go YouTube and look it up. And, you know, he makes the case of saying this is the type of programming that is quality. And when it came at that point, there was a Republican senator who, after listening to Fred Rogers talk, said, you know what? What are we doing? Give him the money. My God, give him the money. A reasonableness. But what is it? We frame it as woke and all of a sudden, get rid of it. And, you know, are there viewpoints on PBS that are, quote, you know, more, I don't know, is it left leaning? Is it, or is it more liberal democracy supporting? And, you know, that's the question we want to start always trying to dig out. It's like, what is it about PBS? And it has always stood as this kind of, I guess in one way, it's an anti-capitalist corporation, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're not making it on their own. It's why should the taxpayers fund these liberal woke agenda pushing people, you know, Fred Rogers and Big Bird.
Well, we have that cut in our stack of
stuff somewhere.
And we're looking for it in our files here, because I played it. It was a really moving moment, and the reason why Fred Rogers, you know, said that it was so important to have public broadcasting in the first place.
Yeah, and he was talking to Senator John Pastore. And he was going for they were trying to go from $20 million down to $10 million, and that was what the committee meeting was about. I'm trying to get that cut over to you.
And one of the things that a lot of people forget is that there were a number of programs on public broadcasting that were conservative.
Yeah.
One of the most popular programs ever on public broadcasting, which is I can't think of right now.
Fireline. Yeah,
with
William F. Buckley.
Yes, exactly. One of the biggest programs ever in the history of conservative broadcasting.
Right.
It was on public radio.
Right.
And TV.
Public TV, yes.
So there it is. I know. This doesn't make any sense, of course. Again, none of this ever made any sense, their attack on it. But I think any time that you actually go out and report on the news in an impartial way, it's always liberal and it's always progressive and it's always bad, right?
It doesn't have a spin. Yeah, John, that's what it was. It was just like, okay, you know, largely the most objective news out there, right? Mm-hmm. For some reason, you know, objective news is liberal.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's just like, you know, how do you get to that? And I think again, we study history. We look at moments like this where, you know, Fred Rogers shows up, speaks eloquently, gently, truth, and that truth comes across as saying, you know, if you're listening, anybody who hears that says, wait a minute, we're going to do away with, you know, this man and the type of programming that he's been bringing, you know, and at this point too, and was it 68, he hadn't even been doing this that long, right?
Exactly. Yes.
You know, and so you think about that and you say it's quality programming, and you know,
I don't even know, this is going to, you know, take a quality programming away from future generations as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's the huge effect here.
It's a problem.
We know what it was like, and it was great. It was fantastic, great programming. Kids were brought up on it. And now it's not going to be like that. I don't know what parents are going to do.
Yeah. Well, we have to leave it there. Tim Slecker, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
We encourage you to check out Tim and Johnny's podcast. Yes.
Jump on. Make sure you got everybody. Pay attention Saturday. Dr. Ethan Siegel, astrophysicist, will be on to talk. Here's why science matters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Beautiful.
You can check that out.
Right.
Pacific Media Radio Network. Thank you, Tim.
How did we do in there? Not too good. Apparently, you're not an American citizen. That's true. And according to your boss, you're not a Soviet citizen either. Well, the boss isn't always right, but he's always the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Do you never worry? Would it help?
Yeah. All right, this is WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
It is 7:35, hazy sunshine this morning, highs in the mid-80s this afternoon, and Mike McCabe joins us in just a moment, but first, let me remind you, this portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Start the school year off right with a mattress set built just for the student in your home. It's time for you to get a better night's sleep and for them to get a better night's sleep on a new Verlo mattress. For bigger dreams, your student needs the very best sleep that they can get. And for that, it's got to be Verlo. Go to Verlo on the east side or the west side of Madison, or just go to verlo.com for more information and to check out their lifetime comfort guarantee. That's verlo.com.
Of course, the students sleep during the day. You know, I mean,
if they don't get a good night's sleep at night.
No, they don't sleep at all. They game all night and then they sleep during the day. These are daytime mattresses that Verlo is selling.
Daytime mattresses. I didn't know that.
Well,
it's not in the copy.
It's a new product.
Okay.
Ask for it by name.
Okay.
Tell them John Peterson sent you.
They'll tell them that.
Roll their eyes and say, okay, I got it.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Mike McCabe's
been a
back.
While. Yeah. It's been a while.
Haven't
Mike.
Seen you for a couple of weeks or so.
Good to see you guys.
How you doing?
Good. Yeah. Eyes are burning a little bit.
Yeah,
it's pretty crummy.
Well, I think I might have gotten soap in my eyes in the shower, but I'm gonna go ahead and blame it on the haze.
I would definitely do. as I keep getting further and further out of shape. Look, I love taking this walk down Middleton, but you know, with the weather like this, it's not good. It's not healthy
right.
to breathe in the particulate out there.
Cooped up too much.
I know.
It.
So here we are, the doomed baby boomers. You know, I've talked about this on the show so many times. I'm so disappointed in my generation. We really had it going, you know, the sexual revolution. By the way, you had a great list of everything that the 60s and 70s turned out. That was fantastic in your article. But anyway, we had all these great movements, you know, sexual revolution, women's lib, anti-war protests showing, you know, what we can do if we got together and protested something on the campuses mostly. They weren't DEI yet. They weren't using DEI to break up these protests. And now the baby boomers have turned into billionaires and selfish.
Well, not all of us.
Sons of
God.
Yeah,
guns. Not all.
Sons of God. Right? Yeah. But, you know, it's a horrible representation, you know? I mean, we work so hard to see the U.S. on our motorcycles, you know, and get out there and be real Americans and just, you know, love peace. Gordy was part of the hippie peace movement at the time.
Of course. Everybody was.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You know, in our generation.
That's right.
Seemed like it.
That's right. And some of us like patchouli oil. Some of us didn't.
What are you talking about? Okay.
But
so,
anyway.
Well, what's your point?
But my point is now that we have soured Gen Z, our kids, we have soured them on our generation. And thank goodness, maybe this is enough to push them and change the U.S. again. And you talk about it in your article about, you know, them now being that the generation we need to count on to change everything.
Every younger generation sours on older generations. That's the nature of generations. And, it's why there's always generational change. And I really wrote this article because I've been talking, you know, to a lot of my peers. I was born at the very tail end of the baby boom, so I'm barely a boomer, but I kind of fit in at the very back end of it. But I talked to all these boomers who are extremely depressed, and they really feel like they've let all the rest of the generations down, and that they've failed, and that you know. And I guess I wanted to say, lighten up. and think about the fact that the baby boom generation brought about the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act and Medicaid and Medicare and the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act. And I go on and on and on. I probably offered another half dozen or dozen that were the doing of the baby boom generation.
Mm-hmm.
The boomers brought along generational change because people, when they were young in that generation, were feeling like there was too much conformity, that they felt stifled by a society that was so very different than the society we live in today. So the boomers changed the world. They changed, they dramatically changed America. But the nature of...
It's a big but, by the way.
Human nature being what it is, you know, that brought a pretty powerful backlash and a push to sort of reverse a lot of those changes or a lot of those advances. And now, of course, Gen Z, like all younger generations, is going to look at the older generations and say they don't know what the hell they were doing. And we got to change the world because that's what younger generations do. But I don't think that means that what the baby boom generation did was not, if not revolutionary, it was certainly evolutionary, because we live in a tremendously different world than America was in the 1940s or 1950s. And we shouldn't forget that, but we also should make way for generational change. And I guess my point in the article was that, unfortunately, the forces that are most powerful today want to take us back. They want to take us back to the 1940s or 50s or the 1920s or the 1890s. And America is always at its best when it's thinking about tomorrow, when it puts yesterday in the rearview mirror and it thinks about how should we reinvent ourselves? That's when America is at its best, is when we're reinventing. And that's what Gen Z, I think, that's the challenge for Gen Z, is to reinvent the world again.
Yeah.
And to think anew, and that means some old institutions are going to crumble, and they are going to collapse, and old ways are going to go away.
Yeah,
and
let's hope.
And let's hope, because this is a moment that calls out for reinvention, and we ought to be thinking about that, planning for it, fighting for it, and instead we're kind of wringing our hands and saying, oh, we've failed, and doggone it. All of those things that were done made a very different America. And And we're all living in a world that is the result of gender equality and greater racial equality and all of those things, and Medicaid and Medicare and all those things that were put in place by the baby boom generation.
Yeah.
We take all those things for granted now. We shouldn't take them for granted, but we should be thinking, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. What? How do we imagine the modern day equivalent of those things that were all done back in the 60s and 70s?
Way back then, we had the Jetsons. And and it gave
yes,
us
we dream- did, John.
It, yeah. it gave us dreams of what the future could look
yeah.
like.
Well, yes, we have the space race, and yeah. yes, that yeah, we thought we'd all have flying
cars. We couldn't wait for tomorrow to happen
yeah.
and see the future like that. But instead, we've been held back.
Yeah.
And I've always said this from the past, at least in the last three or four decades. I thought the Republicans, because they have this tax cut fever, and it hasn't let up one bit. But these tax cuts are money that could go to improving this country, to update this country,
yep.
to revitalize this country instead of giving it as tax cuts. They are a freeloader generation. The boomers are freeloaders. They're trying
to
have
a wait a second. I think you're painting with too broad a brush there, John.
Oh, I'm doing that again.
When you said the boomers have become billionaires,
yeah,
a
yeah.
handful of boomers have become billionaires,
yeah.
and they are seeking to actively rig the system to make themselves trillionaires.
Yes.
And then there's a whole bunch of people who have actually watched their net worth erode. The actual buying power of their net worth has been declining because we've got such grotesque economic inequality at this moment in our country. And there are boomers who are not well off.
Right.
Yes, there are billionaires in that generation. And those billionaires want to become trillionaires. And they are actively working to make sure that they can do that. And that's really what brought me to my most recent article that just came out. Mm-hmm. This central myth of capitalism, that there's this invisible hand that will guide our economy and guide our society in wise ways, and you don't need any government intervention. And of course, that's hogwash. that is an idea that those billionaires need Americans to embrace if they are going to become trillionaires, as right. they wish to become.
Yeah. I love your line, from the ashes, arsonists become the architects.
Well, that's that whole thing about generational change. The way I put it is arsonists become architects,
yeah.
architects become preservationists, preservationists become arsonists. You know, what did the baby boom generation do but rebel against the conformity
yes,
and the
right.
and the staleness of American society? Mm-hmm. And they wanted to burn things down, and a whole lot of things burned.
Yes.
And then a new construction happened and a new architecture was created.
Mm-hmm.
And those arsonists became architects. Then, of course, in more recent times, boomers wanted to preserve all that they had built.
Yeah.
And they became sort of America's true conservatives.
Yeah.
You know, not the modern day definition of conservative
right,
that you see in the far right.
Yeah.
But they wanted to preserve what they had created. So they became preservationists. And now, of course, there's a whole lot of people wanting to burn down what was built.
Talking to Mike McCabe here, and we got a text
true.
Here. Mike, are you even going to mention Gen X? Of course, the forgotten generation. Do they fit into
this
picture? Yeah,
and I'm right on the cusp.
Yeah, you're right on the edge.
I'm right on the cusp of baby boom and Gen X. And so some people, depending on how you define the generation, some people would put me in Gen X.
Uh-huh.
But to me, those lines are blurry at best. And look, Gen X was part of that construction, because that new architecture that the boomers can lay claim to, you know, that continued all the way into the 1970s, almost to the 1980s. You had the Americans with Disabilities Act. You had
right.
those,
yeah.
And then the fight for gender equality, but then also the fight for marriage equality,
yes.
where people, even up until very recent years, were troubled by the idea of same-sex marriage. And today, the vast majority of Americans accept it. They're okay with
They're
it.
Okay
and,
with
and, of
it.
Course,
yeah.
marriage equality became the law of the land. And, you know, I have that line in the article that gay was no longer a synonym for merry or happiness.
Yeah.
And it was defined differently, mm-hmm. and it ended up being reflected in our laws. But that's a 21st century advance.
Mm-hmm.
The fight for, so you know, Gen X was all part of that as well. And so yeah, maybe too many people have overlooked Gen X and because so much of the younger generation's wrath is directed toward the boomers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But look, for younger generations, the challenge is the same as it was for the baby boom generation. If you don't like what society looks like, reinvent it.
Yes.
And yeah. break new ground and take us to a new place. Instead, I think we've got these retrogressive forces that are trying to take us backwards, mm-hmm. all the way to the 1890s if they can
we
do it.
We will continue our conversation with Mike McCabe after this on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Jane is right.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Gotta get on that good foot one of these days.
Yep.
WMDX, it's John and Gordy in the morning on a beautiful day in Madison, the capital city, a block away from the Capitol on State Street. Visit us sometimes if you can.
Mm-hmm. It's hazy out there today, highs in the mid-80s, 752. Back for a few more minutes here with Mike McCabe.
We've got a text here from Megan in Sun Prairie. Boomers may have made some wonderful changes to the world, but they also pulled the ladder up behind them. That's the issue. Newer generations can't get a word in edgewise, and they've lost all hope and being able to do so. And, you know, I see that all the time, and we're hearing about that all the time, that, you know, many pulled up that ladder behind them, and generations now are having a very difficult time buying homes, getting cars, being able to afford an apartment. Even a steady job.
Right.
It's the gig, you know,
yeah.
economy
oh, no,
now.
No question, you know, the boomers brought about a lot of social change, a lot of social equality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't do so well on economic equality. And I guess I wouldn't say that the boomers all pulled the ladder up behind them.
Right.
But mm-hmm. they allowed the ladder to be pulled up behind them.
Yeah.
You know, a few at the very top did the pulling.
Yeah.
The billionaire class. They did the pulling, but the baby boom generation didn't do a good enough job of preventing that. And so economic equality was not one among the boomers' great achievements. And now we have really grotesque economic inequality in this country.
That's right. You talked about Adam Smith, the invisible hand of capitalism. Why?
Yeah, that invisible hand keeps giving us all the finger.
Yes, it does. Mm. And in relation to the ag bill that is kind of in limbo forever at this point, no one's bringing it up. I'm surprised that farmers throughout the country aren't angry and bitter about this. I mean, they're losing their labor force because of immigration, and now the ag bill is completely invisible to this administration.
They're
not talking about it at all.
They're a little distracted while they're filing bankruptcy.
Yeah.
People probably haven't heard, but there has been a recent spike in farm bankruptcies in this country, a pretty dramatic percentage increase.
Wow.
And that's on top of what happened over the past several decades, where 4 million farmers were put out of business by changing U.S. agriculture policy. Four million farmers were put out of business.
Yeah, we always talk about the 500 farms were going out of business in Wisconsin.
The thing that aggravates me, coming from a farming background, is that so often people say, well, farmers just weren't farming smart enough, or they couldn't compete, or they kind of blamed the farmers, when in fact it was really savage policy that put them out of business. And you know, I write about the contrast between the U.S. farm economy and the Canadian farm economy.
Yeah.
In Canada, farm bankruptcies are so rare that they don't even measure them anymore, because right. they don't even have an ongoing statistic for them, because they are so exceedingly rare. And here it's something of an epidemic, and it's because they have a sensible supply management system
that
we used to have that kept our farm economy stable and kept those 4 million farmers in business.
Why did that go away?
Yeah, why?
Because big agribusiness wanted it to go away. They wanted fewer farmers who were operating on a much bigger scale, who were dependent on them for seed, for chemical fertilizers, for chemical pesticides. And they also wanted a glut. They wanted to subsidize overproduction. So we went from modulating the food supply to keep farmers in business and keep prices reasonable for consumers. Mm-hmm. That's what Canada does to this day.
Yes.
We went to a system that still subsidizes. They marketed it as, let's wean farmers from government assistance. Let's wean them from subsidies. Farming is as heavily subsidized today as it ever has been, but that now they subsidize overproduction because they wanted a glut of corn and soybeans so that they could then turn to turning some of that into things like fuel and sweeteners,
mm-hmm.
yeah, high fructose corn syrup, right?
Thank you, Boomer. Thanks for that.
And yeah. you know, and so, yeah, they consciously wanted that glut, and they also wanted that glut so they could dump cheap food on foreign markets and commandeer their farm economies.
Yeah.
And they put foreign countries' farm economies on ice and put a whole bunch of people out of business there so that they could take over those markets and become supermarket to the world.
Well, I have to interject here.
That was conscious policy.
I'm wondering exactly what the tariff policies are doing as far as, you know, our commodities going over there tariff-free. Are we going to disrupt their markets?
We've been disrupting their markets.
Even more so.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they were protecting their markets. Right. I don't know if those protections have gone down or been taken away right. through the EU agreement that they have for tariffs. I don't know that. I can't believe that no one's writing about that.
Right.
Because every market has to protect their farmers, their economies, and they rely on them.
Yeah,
we can't let down. I mean, we can't let them down.
We can't flood
their market.
In public policy, we let the Monsantos of the world, the ADMs, the Cargills, we let them dictate agricultural policy.
Yeah.
And we're now reaping that harvest.
Yeah.
And it's a bitter harvest because we've got 4 million farmers who've been put out of business. We still are seeing a surge in farm bankruptcies to this day.
Mm.
And we had a system that yielded an abundance of wholesome food at reasonable prices and kept farmers in business, and we abandoned that system.
Right. Those days are gone. Oh, boy.
But they could come back because they're there in Canada today.
They are.
And yep. farm suicides are almost non-existent there, and it's a big problem here.
Mike McKay, we got to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. Stephanie Miller is coming up next.
It's a problem everybody's ignoring.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't. We should focus on this.
Just look north.
Yes.
There we go. On our next show tomorrow, we'll welcome back Tim Slecker talking about education. Also, Jim Santel with some attorney advice for us.
Legal stuff.
Legal stuff. It's all coming up tomorrow. We hope you have a great day. So long.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.